Good morning. You may be opening your Bible, if you'd like, to Mark chapter 14. We're going to be doing a couple of readings there this morning where our lesson will be based. And so if you'll open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, we'll read there in just a little bit. It's good to have everybody present this morning. We've got a good number present, and we're thankful for your being here. And for those who are joining in by live stream, we're glad that you're with us today and worshiping with us. And hopefully as we get into our lesson, we can learn more about God's Word and be more anxious to serve Him in the way that we should. Now, let me suggest to you today that you keep your Bible handy. We're going to have several scriptures that we're going to be reading from, and I've got a lot of material to cover, and I may be going a little too fast for you to keep up with me. So if you want to take pencil and paper and write these down where you can study them after you get home, feel free to do so. If you can't do that and want a copy of the lesson, I'll be glad to make you a copy of the notes that I have today. Mark chapter 14, let's begin with verse 27, and we'll read down through about verse 31. Mark chapter 14 and verse 27 beginning. Then Jesus said unto them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said unto him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say unto thee, unto you, today, even tonight before the rooster crows, that you'll deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently and said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." They all said the same thing. And now we'll go down a little bit further in a little bit. Keep your Bible open at that place, and we'll start reading with verse 53 in just a moment. Now, in this particular passage that we're talking about here, Jesus was foretelling his death on the cross and said in verse 27 that all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered. And Peter said to him then, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." This is in verse 28 of that reading where we just read. But Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, that even before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And this is in Mark chapter 14 and verse 29. Now, not long after this was when the drama began. Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. You know, Jesus had made a deal with the people that he would betray Jesus. And this is the sign that he gave that he would betray him with a kiss. And he told them to hold him fast whenever they found him. Well, Jesus is seized and taken away. Well, Peter follows along with the group when they take Jesus, when he's seized. But he's not up close to where Jesus is. He's kind of far away, back in the crowd with the other people. And not long after this, he was tempted, as we'll talk about. And this is where we pick up our reading now with verse 53 and read down through the rest of the chapter. And this is where our lesson is based today. Verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priest and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Then some rose up and bore witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hand, and within 3 days I will build another made without hand.' But not even then did their testimony agree." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is this? What is it that these testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" He said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming with clouds of the heavens." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further testimony?" I'll get my page turned here in a minute. What further need do we have of witness? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hand. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're saying. And he went out into the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them, but he denied again. And a little later, those who stood by him said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And a second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Now, today, this is where our lesson is found. And we're talking about the title of the lesson today is Peter's Rooster. And we're going to be talking about Peter's Rooster today and applying this to us. So this is where we start. The stage is set now for our lesson today. And I'll be talking about several different passages of Scripture. And if you want to try to follow along, I doubt that you'll have time to turn to all of them. But anyway, do it if you want to, or write it down or whatever. So Peter overestimated his own strength. Now, sometimes we do the same thing today. We overestimate our own strength. He said, even though all may stumble at you and go away, yet I will not be. He said, even if I have to die with you, I will not forsake you. This is in verse 31 of Mark chapter 14. But God said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walketh to direct his own steps. So sometimes we think that we're stronger than what we are. Sometimes we think we can take things that we cannot take. Psalms 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And also in Psalms 128 and verse 1, he said, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Proverbs 28 and verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely will be delivered. And so we know then by the passages that we're talking about that sometime we may overestimate our own power. We may think we're stronger than what we are, and we're going to talk about that a little further in detail when we get down into our lesson a little further. Another thing that Peter did, he underestimated the effect that the world would have on him. And that's another thing that we do, another mistake we make. We think that we can do anything we want to. We can go anywhere we want to go, be associated with anybody we want to be associated with, and it's not going to bother us at all. Well, God disagrees with that. We may think that, but we say, I can go places where they drink and gamble and all that kind of thing, and it doesn't bother me. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 21 says, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. So we have to realize that the world has a lot of influence on us. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. And so sometimes these things will lead us astray, and we're not as strong as we think we are. Another thing we may say, well, petting, hugging, and kissing, and so forth like that is not going to affect me because I know where to stop. But James chapter 1 and verse 14 said, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so we don't need to overestimate our strength or our power. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So sometimes the things that we think we're going to do, the things that we wish to do, we do not, because we underestimate the power of the world and the influence that the world has on us. Another thing, being around people who curse and swear and take the name of the Lord in vain is not going to affect me. That's another thing we say. Well, you know, when we say that, we might ought to be listening. That rooster may be crowing for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, Paul said, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." And so if we're around evil people, it's going to rub off on us, and we're going to get to the point where we don't even notice. And one good thing that will show us that, look at TV now and what's on TV now. 10 years ago, if that had come on, people would have cut the TV off. They wouldn't have looked. Now they don't even think anything about it. It's just an everyday occurrence. And we see all the different things on TV and evil and vulgar things there, and we don't think anything about it. So he said to walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Being around people who curse and swear and take the name of the Lord in vain, let me give you a good example of this. When I was first baptized, I was going to a county school down in Alabama. And I never noticed all the cursing and the bad language and things that was there, because it was just a part of the day. But by a suggestion from one of the brethren where I was attending services, that I transfer and go to the Athens Bible School and finish up my education there, where I could have a class in the Bible every day, just like we did math and English and so forth. And I went there, and a few weeks later, after I started school there, I went back to the school where I had gone before, and nothing was so out of place but the cursing and swearing. It just hit me like a ton of brick when I heard that. When there a few weeks before, I paid no attention to it because it was a common thing. And so, but when I transferred to the Bible school, you didn't hear cursing, you didn't hear swearing, you didn't hear things of that nature. And so when I went back, it was very noticeable, the things that I hadn't noticed before. So we get to the point where we don't even notice those things that we're doing round about us. Another thing, hanging out with the negligent, unfaithful Christians doesn't influence me for bad. Well, you might ought to listen for the rooster. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, he who walks with the wise men will be wise. And so if we want to be wise, we walk with the wise men. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, Isaiah said, "Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul said in writing to the church at Rome, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And so if we think that we can be company with those people who are negligent, unfaithful Christians, and it not affect us, then we might ought to be listening for the rooster. It may be crowing for us, because we are affected more than we think we are. Another thing, we may listen, might ought to listen for the rooster, whenever we decide to go against the teaching of our parents and go out on our own, we might ought to listen for the rooster. He may be crowing for us. In John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer and the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." So we're not to walk in darkness, but we're to walk in the light. Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." In verse 10 of that same Proverbs chapter 1, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." And down at verses 15 and 16, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood." So we have to be particular. We have to be careful, because there's so many things that are round about us day by day that we're faced with, and the devil is there to help us to say, help to say to us, you know, this is the way you ought to go. It's too much problems to try to live the Christian life. Another thing, when we go against our conscience, we'd better listen for the rooster, for he may be crowing for us. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, we used this passage a minute ago, but we'll use it again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Acts 23 and verse 1, then Paul looked earnestly at the council and said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Whenever we go against our conscience, even though the thing may not be wrong in itself, if we go against our conscience, it makes it wrong to us. In Acts 24 and verse 16, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience with some, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. And so we need to be careful then, not go against our conscience, but always have a good conscience, a clear conscience before God and man. When we neglect to study the Bible, we're asking for trouble. We need to listen for the rooster. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. It says, and further, my son, be admonished by these. Of many books there is, or making of many books, there is no end. And study is weariness of the flesh. But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. And we know that much study is a weariness of the flesh, just like he says here. Some days when I'm over here at the office and I spend 3 or 4 hours at the computer or reading my Bible and things like this and studying, when I go home, I'm worn out. That's a weariness of the flesh. And that's what he said. But we're to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. The King James Version says the whole duty of man. For to hear to his word, to do his word, to obey his word, this is the only thing that matters. So hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the all of man, or man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment. Now listen to that. He brings every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. Now, we would like for a lot of those things to be forgotten, but I'm telling you, they're not going to be forgotten. God's going to remember every one of them, except the ones that have been forgiven. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give an answer or a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Also in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we need then to study our Bible daily. We need to read it daily and meditate upon it, that we may serve God in the way that he wants us to. When we love money, material things, more than we do Jesus and his church, then we might ought to be listening for the rooster. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that word mammon is talking about material things, money and so forth. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have swerved from the faith, and greediness has pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So because of their greediness, they pierced themselves through. They've been in places they did not need to be because they were greedy. They were more interested in laying up treasure on earth than they were laying up treasure in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust does destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And so we are to love God, love Jesus Christ more than we do money and material things. When we love the praise of men more than we do the praise of God, we might ought to be listening for the rooster because we're in trouble. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And when we get to the point where we love the praise of men more than the praise of God, then we're in trouble. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him," or giving thanks to his name. And 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and forever. Amen." And so we then must love the praise of God more than the praise of men. When we argue that it doesn't matter whether we marry a person that's a Christian or not, that we'll convert them after we're married, we might ought to listen to the rooster. There have been a lot of people who thought this, and some did, and some did not. Some were able to convert their companion after they're married. Others were pulled aside because of an unfaithful or a non-believing companion. And so we might ought to be careful. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Of course, the Hebrew writer assures us that marriage is honorable among all and the bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And then in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For a woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead or dies, she is free from that law. So she is no adulteress, though she is married to another man." And so here God talks about the marriage and so forth, and how that we need to be Christians. We need to be serving him. We need a companion that can help us to live right, help us get to heaven, help us raise children to where we can bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I guess that's one thing that I prayed more for when I was growing up than anything else, that whoever I chose to be a companion would be one who would be a good mother for my children, one to help me raise them in a way where they could be raised in the spirit and in truth, and to help me to where I could go to heaven when this life is over. So I think that God answered my prayer, and I had a good woman that was that way. She loved her family. She loved me. And we worked together and tried to raise our children in the way that they ought to be raised. And I think Deborah's a good example of that. Yeah. One other thing, and then we'll bring our lesson to close today. When I say it don't matter if I marry someone who has already been married, regardless of whether they have the right to marry again or not, then I better watch out. I ought to be listening to the rooster. Now, if you'll turn back with me to Matthew chapter 19, I want to read a passage from Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 3. "The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife just for any reason?' And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement or a certificate of divorcement and put her away?" And he said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except it for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries who that is divorced commits adultery." And so God has given us the rules to go by here, and we better listen to those rules, or the rooster may be crowing for us like it was for Peter when he had denied the Lord three times. We all need to listen for the rooster. We all need to realize that he warns us, and that we need to listen for him. I was telling Tim this morning, it kind of reminds me of back when I was a boy. When I was in first grade at school, where we lived, we got water from a spring, and the runoff from that spring created a little creek that ran down between our house and the road. And so every day, whenever the school bus would stop and I'd get off the school bus, we had an old big red rooster, and he'd meet me down at that little creek every day, and I had to fight him before I could get to the house. And I'd lay my books down, and we'd have a fight, and he'd run off out there and crow like he won the fight, and then I could go on to the house. And so this was a big red rooster, so that's what I have in mind when I talk about Peter's rooster crowing. And we better watch out, because that rooster may be out there ready to attack us or to warn us about where we're going astray. Lesson is yours today, and I know we've covered it a little fast, a little speedy. I hope not too fast, but if we have and you need a copy of the notes that I've got, I'd be happy to make you a copy. So have those here today who need to obey the gospel of Christ. Maybe have lived in a way that you realize that the rooster's been crowing for you. Maybe even crowing for you today. Maybe you need to make some changes in your life. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel and you need to be baptized. The baptistry's filled, ready for baptism, and we've got men here today who will handle that job. And so if you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, then you come today and do that. Or if you haven't lived like you ought to, and you know that your life is not what it ought to be, and that the rooster's been crowing in your life a few times, then why not come today and make that life right, so that you can leave this building today pure and clean in the sight of God. Won't you listen? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?